Everyone, welcome back to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
Aaron, we've got four more groups to go through.
I'm going to make a rule.
What is the rule?
You're not allowed to start an episode by saying it'll be a nice quick one today.
Yeah.
All the episodes become the same amount
of time. Same length regardless. Let's try and fly through some of these then. It'll not work.
That still counts.
We're not allowed to. No. You never said I wasn't allowed to say that. Right. Group E. Group E, Aaron. Shut up and let me continue this podcast. Group E. We've got Atletico Madrid away to Celtic. That's the first game we're going to look at today. What are you thinking?
Celtic just aren't very good, are they?
No.
I'm pretty sure we said that. They play later on tonight. We don't know the starting lineup yet, so we may come back to it later if we remember. But Atletico Madrid, they're not... It's very different, Atletico Madrid, than what we're used to, I guess. Currently sitting fourth. And then in terms of Champions League... they're sitting comfortably top.
Yeah. I brought Jimenez in last week on my
wild card. It's also three goals against. Yeah, it's not the defensive, solid back performances that we're used to seeing, I guess.
I fancy them to keep clean sheets in these two, to be honest. So I have Jimenez, although he was injured, and I don't know when he's back. So that's an issue. That's just another issue that I have, Aaron. What a shock. I'd likely just keep him in case, just in case he's fit. And if he's not, because it's a Wednesday game, which isn't ideal, then it's more so at least I've got him for Celtic at home and Lazio at home. It was my fifth defender and he was a panic. It was just such a panic decision because I didn't really know who else to get with the budget that I had. And I wanted to leave some money in the bank to be able to get up to Haaland. So I didn't want to spend all my money. It's not really an issue now because I'll probably get rid of maybe... If I want to take a hit, I'll get rid of Vodegaard. It's a little bit of a problem. I think, obviously, defensively, Hermoso's not exactly cheap. It's the problem with Atletico Madrid defenders. They are, you've got to pay for what you get with them. But they have been doing well defensively. I can't see Celtic doing anything in this game, to be honest. I think, obviously, the struggle to score against Lazio, but they did, which is fine. And we sort of did say that we thought that they would. But Atletico Madrid are still better than Lazio. How are, Morata's the one again. I was going to have Morata in my team. The issue why I didn't on my wild card was because he got sent off in a La Liga game, the penultimate game to this Champions League game. In his replacement, scored two goals. So when Correa scored two goals, I thought, well, does Simeone now play him in this game? You've just scored a brace. Surely you deserve to keep your place. I don't know the inner workings of Atletico Madrid too much. So I did not fancy him to start. And that was very, very costly because it was between him and De Jong. And, well, we all know what happened. Morata, list this game week up.
It was a shame. It was a shame watching you, people laughing at your expense in the group chats. It's crazy. It's crazy that they laugh at your expense in all these decisions.
I'd laugh at me. I deserve it. I come on here, throw my weight around. No, I encourage people. I laugh at other people when it goes badly. I fully expect them to laugh at me. It's good banter, that group. It was just, obviously... It's nice sometimes on the podcast when we get it right so that we obviously are recommending these players to other people and they do go off. It was just, that was my decision making for not sort of getting behind Morata in the end. What do you think the score is going to be? We don't need to wait this forever.
I don't know why I didn't even consider Atletico Madrid. I knew that they were going to keep a clean sheet, or hasn't happened yet, but I do feel like they'll keep a clean sheet. And I hadn't even considered them for transfers or anything like that. So that'll quickly change. I'll look to see who I can bring in. So I think probably 1-0 or 2-0 Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, I think it'll be 2-0. I mean, come on, it's Griezmann and Morata. Like, they are good players playing against Celtic. There'll be a couple of goals, I think. Mandava, Jimenez, Depay, Lamar, all injured. So I think it does make picking their defenders a little easier. I mean, Axel Witsel getting thrown in at centre-back's always, you know, the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of selection headaches for us as managers. So it will be imperative you get the right one. I do think they are a little pricey. With Jimenez being injured, by the looks of it, until early November, I think I have to take a -4, which is a disaster after a wild card, really, just to get rid of Jimenez, get rid of Koundé, and definitely get rid of Osimhen. But there are midfield changes that I want to make, Aaron. And we'll likely get on to those very shortly. We've got Lazio versus Feyenoord. Why don't you talk to us about Lazio first?
They're doing better because they were near relegation when we first started doing these previews. But Feyenoord is still the strong favourite to win. Lazio play tonight against Sassuolo, who just love these big games.
I'm going to say they're a bit of a giant killer, aren't they, Sassuolo?
Yeah, that's the best way to that's the best way to refer to them. In terms of like Lazio in the table, I mean, they're both 12th and 13th, Sassuolo and Lazio being 13th. So they have turned a corner, but if you said in any other group, that you're going to have someone who's 13th on the table against pot one team, and the pot one team is at home.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be like, right, Feyenoord. Regardless, even without even knowing the team, you'd go, yeah, we're going to back the pot one team. So I think the Feyenoord assets that we do have, I think, are still worthy of being your team. Lazio are playing a few tough games, and we'll see how the Sassuolo game goes, but Feyenoord are heavy favourites, and I don't blame them because they have the Rome derby. I don't know what the actual Italian term is for that, but they play against Roma next week, and that's going to be quite a head turner. People definitely want to play in that match, so I think this has a Feyenoord win written all over this. Personally,
I don't disagree. I think Vellenreuther could be a good goalkeeper. It's just at his price point. I think Lazio struggle to score in this game. And Jimenez is back. A different Jimenez.
The one that we recommended in the group preview, but then we found out we were suspended.
Yeah, we're like, wait a couple of weeks. So he's back for this game. He's 7.5 million. I think that's a terrific price. He loves to score. He scores in basically every game he plays. But they're playing tonight, Feyenoord. So they kick off at 8 p.m. UK time, I believe.
So in an hour at the time of recording.
Yeah, hour time of recording. So that'll be... But it's just over an hour, so I don't quite have the team starting lineup or anything out yet. Stengs becomes a much better option, I think, when Jimenez plays. I don't know if you'd really want to go with one of the Feyenoord fullbacks as much. Would that be a Hartman? Or if you could go for the centre-back of Gietruda. But I think with how rubbish the goalkeepers have been, I think Vellenreuther has as good a choice as any. I think he even got loads of points last week, despite the fact that he conceded three goals. I'm sure he's still actually raked in a bunch of save points, which is surprising because he's been quite poor, to be honest, throughout the season in the Eredivisie. I agree. Like, I wouldn't go for anyone from Lazio. I just don't, this isn't the time. You've just mentioned about Roma. Next weekend, they laboured to the Celtic result and fine order at home. And then even away to Lazio, you still maybe fancy fine order. It'll be interesting. What do you think the score's going to be?
After all that, I'm going to say Lazio 3-1. I'm
just very thing.
No, I think Feyenoord will win 2-0.
I agree. I think it's going to be 2-0. On to the group of death. We'll start with league leaders, Newcastle United.
I was about to ask a question with this. I don't know if my phone's glitching, but it shows that Newcastle are top. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to send your phone back, Aaron. We are top of the group, as was sung around St. James's Park just after Fabian Scher smashed one right into the top bins. I was at that game. I've got a ticket for the Dortmund game as well at home. I don't have a Dortmund away. So
you just need to travel to all these matches.
My streak will come to an end for Dortmund away. I don't think I could afford it, even if I did get a ticket, to be honest. But to see all three teams play in the group, I couldn't have asked for any more. One away, two at home. I think I'd be greedy to be wanting anything more than what I've received. So I cannot wait for that. So we'll start with that games. Dortmund v Newcastle. So Newcastle won 4-0 today. The first
half. Who do we think we are?
I think that's like 6 clean sheets in 8 games or something like that now. We are playing really, really well. I just think we're a cut above most teams in the league. There's obviously that like little bit at the top that will struggle. You know, your man, obviously Brighton absolutely destroyed us. But I think we're a lot fitter than we were at the start of the season so that we can play that Eddie Howe style, which does help a lot because at the start of the season, you could see that it was just trying to build up to that point. We are so dangerous at home. And Borussia Dortmund aren't the greatest team, let's be honest, this season. I'm just about to bring up some Dortmund stats. But in terms of Newcastle, we were
outstanding. Scoring defenders in the game.
Yeah, like we were outstanding today. That right-hand side, Jacob Murphy got a goal and two assists. Unbelievable today. He probably won't play. I think it'll be Mickey starting. I think if I was to chance my arm at a team, it's going to be Pope, Trippier, Shaw, Lascelles, Byrne, Longstaff, Bruno, Joe Linton, Gordon, Isak, Miggy. I think that'll be our team personally. And I just think we'll win the game. I just think we are a really, really good home team. And I think if we do win the game, that has to put us as favourites to qualify. I think we're already favourites to qualify, obviously, because we're top. But regardless,
it goes on head to head, doesn't it?
Does it still? Is that still a rule? I believe
it's head to head.
Flop.
And so Milan have drawn both their games 0-0, which somehow Rafa Leão was the player of the match in both games. But Tomori's the highest scoring defender in the game so far, with 18 points as a result of that. But Byrne, then Shaw, then Hakimi. Like, for the group of death, defenders are the players to go.
Hakimi, after conceding 4 goals.
Well, all of his 15 points came in game one. He got 0. Yeah.
Big donut against us. To be fair, I mean, it's one of them where I think I said don't go Hakimi because I fancy Newcastle to score. Said we'd have to score 2 or 3, but I did not expect Dan Byrne to do so well against Dembele and Hakimi. brave from Luis Enrique to play a 4-2-4 formation. I thought it worked for the first 5 or 6 minutes because we like to play out from the back and it pinned our fullbacks back. But I think we responded really well. It took us about 8 or 9 minutes to figure out what we had to do against that system. And because
it's encouraging. Yeah, it's encouraging because obviously Brighton really, like, they destroyed us. That wasn't even a close match. Playing the same system. And so the fact that we were able to respond so quickly to another team playing the exact same system shows that Eddie Howe is like, I can't imagine him shouting. But he definitely got in their faces after that result.
100%. And Luis Enrique's team choice wasn't as good as Brighton's. Brighton's, I think they had Solly March playing and they had Estupiñán playing. Plus, obviously, they had the forwards. And what it meant was, if we ever did respond, they could change their system. So they could have went to three at the back and wing backs. They could have played a box down of 4-3-3 formation. Because they had Mwani and Gonçalo Ramos up front, and Mbappe and Mwani were swapping round, and then they've got a wing back at right back and a centre back at left back, they were stuffed. They couldn't change formation. They couldn't then adapt.
Yeah. Because I just thought it was laziness from Paris. Like, I think all they did was they looked at a game that Newcastle got beat and just went, right, we're going to do exactly the same thing that they've done. And Newcastle, Eddie Howe giving him like a little more praise than what he gets, which he rightfully gets. I think they were like, right, teams might try to do the exact same thing against us that Brighton have just done because it was so easy. So, yeah, I think that it was just laziness on the Paris Saint-Germain side and due diligence from the Newcastle side in terms of responding to a loss.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of our assets, you could go for a defender from this game. Trippier is magic, but again, he doesn't get bonus points in this game. Like, so many of his points in FPL that makes him worth the money, the extra money, are bonus points because, I mean, he does get attack and returns, but it obviously does diminish. Like, you got two more bonus points again today. I captained him in FPL and it didn't go. I've got Salah and I've got Alvarez, and I was thinking, oh, which one of these? And I've got Son and Madison. I was like, who do I captain out of this lot? So obviously I've lost a few points on Salah, but thankfully Trippier outscored Alvarez, who outscored Haaland. And I think a lot of people captained Haaland. That worked out all right. Because this isn't the only game I've gone without Haaland in. But I think having one of our defenders isn't the worst thing in the world. It's just very one-weeky. Because I think away from home to Dortmund could be a very different story. I still think we're more than capable of getting a result. But it's more so, we might concede. PSG away, I think, is a much more difficult game. And who knows what's going to happen by the time we get Milan at home. And obviously, we'll hope that Sven Botman will be back by then. Anthony Gordon at 5.5 million, I think for those on a wild card, people should really consider that, especially if they are looking to go for premium elsewhere. If you're going for Kieran Trippier, then I think you should be going for Anthony Gordon as well. You cover both our left side and our right side with them. But also the cost of Gordon offsets the cost of Trippier. Whereas if you do just go for a Shaw or a Burn, you probably don't need to. You can probably just afford to jump up to your 6.5 million midfielders. And especially when we've already went through Mendes and in Bellingham and Thuram, like these sorts of players, you may not need that third absolute cheapo. But if you are looking again to have Kvaratskhelia in there and Bruno Fernandes in there, and Haaland, and Kane, and Trippier, and Dumfries, like these then start totting up. So you might want to go there. I think if you're looking in terms of our forward players, Isak's likely to start. I think he might score, but I do think there are better picks than Isak. We are scoring lots of goals from lots of different players. And I mean, Wilson might start. That's always the thing. Wilson might start. He started today, but I do think Isak will start. Wilson started today purely, I think, based on Isak's fitness. He did come back with an injury. So it was good that he was even able to get 20 minutes today, Isak. But he's likely going to play. I just think when you've got Jimenez against Lazio and you've got all these other players that we've already mentioned, we've got more to mention on this pod. There are some outstanding players to bring in up front that are outside that premium bracket. I just don't have. I love Isak, but there's no guarantee he's going to be the one to score. Could be Miggy, could be Anthony Gordon. Miggy got 11 points last week, I think. They're getting some results in now. They won 1-0 against Wolfsburg yesterday. They beat, I think, Union Berlin 4-2. They've won 5 on the bounce now in the league. So they've turned it round. They've kept 2 clean sheets in those 5 games. They've conceded 5 goals. I think we will be too much for them personally. I think away to Dortmund's going to be a very, very different game. Marco Reus is back for them now. And although he's not been directly involved in loads, I definitely think he's a massive positive influence for them. Full Krug up front as well, although he didn't play great at the weekend, has been in great form for them prior to that, prior to the international break. And he's a top forward. He's like a really old-fashioned, does a bit of everything kind of centre forward and a really good finish. They only signed him this season. So I really like the look of Full Krug. I think if you didn't want to get Full Krug, Julian Brandt's probably your next best buy at 7.5 million. He scored last night. And I think we said at the start of the season, he seems to go under the radar a lot, but he's a very, very good player. Those are the two players that I'd be considering from Dortmund if I had to consider anyone at all. But again, I don't think Newcastle away is the fixture to do so. What are your thoughts, Aaron?
I don't think you can ever write off Dortmund. I think they're a very good team. And not that we are, we're just like just the way Newcastle are playing at the moment and the way that Dortmund are playing at the moment. I just think that Newcastle are stronger, which I never thought I would say anytime soon. But in terms of like Newcastle at home, I think for the group of death anyways, it's going to be, the goal difference is going to be absolutely massive. And I think it's the home fixtures that are the ones to target. So I think the fact that Milan drew 0-0 at home and then drew 0-0 away, I think the 0-0 at home to us is going to come back to bite them. And I think it'll be the same with Dortmund, where the fact that they couldn't finish off Milan is going to come back to bite them, while Newcastle won by 4 goals. And well, they scored 4 goals, we won by 3. So I think that's going to be huge. And it's whose defence is going to hold out the most when they are away from home. And I think out of all the defences, you would trust probably that Newcastle's would probably, if we do lose, it's probably going to be 1-2. This Dortmund, they could be absolutely solid, but that clean sheet stat that you've just read out there, it's not the most comforting for them, but they also have the capacity to just absolutely just lose their heads and just give in and leak loads of goals. And in their moments, it's just like the attacking players are just walking around and there's not really anything there. So in the hostile atmosphere of St. James's Park, I don't think Dortmund players are the ones to get just because of that massive risk.
What's a score going to be?
Newcastle 3-0.
I was going to say the same thing.
Get in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3-0. What an obnoxious thing to say. Also ridiculous because I've got no right to be saying shit like this. I am. Just a few updates from goals and stuff going on. Veerman's got an assist. Icardi's had a brace tonight in the derby. Real Madrid are drawn 1-1 with Sevilla. Alaba scored an own goal. And I can't remember who scored for Real Madrid. Danny Carvajal scored for Real Madrid. So I said earlier on, he's got the biggest upside. But again, it's just rotation later on. PSG versus AC Milan. So PSG are at home to AC Milan. Aaron, I want you to talk about Milan first, please.
Yeah, so AC Milan, they have been playing. I mean, they've always been kind of in and around the top four, and they've massively benefited from. I mean, we don't want to go too much into that situation with Tonali, but I think they are the massive winners of this whole thing. They've not played yet. They play tomorrow against Juventus, which I think the fact that the majority of Champions League teams have played like today and yesterday, and the fact that they've got a late Sunday game and then against Juventus,
that's
and
wild.
then have to travel to Paris. I think that's going to let them down.
Yeah, I agree.
Theo Hernandez is obviously suspended, so don't read too much into the fact that he's not going to be playing. Don't think it's like
suspended,
an injury.
Suspended for the league game, yes.
Yeah, 100, yeah, that's what I meant, sorry. They're having a bit of a goalkeeper nightmare, but on steps Giroud, who, if he somehow gets put in as a goalkeeper, I think he's going to be in everybody's team.
He got goalkeeper of the week and team of the week, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the saves he made were.
Did he make one save or something?
No, like two or three.
Did he?
Yeah.
I saw one of the highlights where he'd made the save and then jumped on the ball, pounced on it bravely.
What a legend. What a legend.
Kyle Walker status.
Why is it that when outfield players go in goal, like it rarely ever goes bad?
Yeah, I think Vinnie Jones went in goal once for Wimbledon, and I'm pretty confident they shipped about six goals.
But obviously, Inter are back top. But if Milan draw, they'll go back to top of the league. So they're playing really well. And I think just... I mean, Pulisic was the last goal scorer, so he did really well in the international break. He came on as a sub to score. It was weird that Pulisic didn't play against Newcastle. But I do think that Milan will put full strength, and Leao, I think, will be a pretty interesting player against Hakimi. Plus, player of the match, Magnet, somehow 2-2, which is just craziness.
Yeah, he was. I can tell you, he was not player of the match in that first game against us. When I thought on
you
their
thought Florenzi
side,
was
no, Florenzi. Well, he only played half a game. I thought he was just way better than Calabria. No, I thought Thiago for AC Milan was absolutely outstanding at the back. We didn't have a sniff. And I thought for us, Kieran Trippier was absolutely unbelievable. For me, one of those two deserved to win player of the match all day long.
Mm-hmm. And then also, interestingly, when it's a clean sheet away from home, in which Dortmund were the better team, that Leao gets it as well.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just whoever's watching these don't have a clue about football, I don't think. Sorry.
They're just going off their fantasy team, aren't they?
Probably.
But Paris, I think the travel is going to be a massive impact on AC Milan. Like, it's not a massive distance, Italy to France, but to play late on the Sunday when everyone else is going to be traveling tomorrow, like, and they've got to wait around.
Yeah, the Italian FA have stitched them.
So Paris Saint-Germain won 3-0, Mbappe penalty. Sola and Ruiz were the other goal scorers. We never read too much into their league kind of results, but I think after Newcastle, they'll be raring to go. And I think my biggest question is, well, kind of the debate I'm having is Mbappe has not done great, and he didn't last group stage either.
Oh, he did all right in the last group stage, last year?
Not in the first few games. It was from match day, that was going to be my debate. From match day four, sorry. From match day four onwards, he then scored in every game. Do I keep Mbappe? Kane and Holland are my other strikers.
Yes. No.
Knowing that Mbappe is not going to be in a lot of people's teams. I mean, he's 26% owned, so it's not like he's in not a lot of people's teams. But amongst the people who we talk to, he's not going to be in their teams.
I'd say
is Mbappe a better option than Bruno Fernandes and Kvaratskhelia?
Right, here we go. I'm going to say no. And the reason is I don't disagree. I think he will score in all four of these games. But I think he's going to score one goal in each of the games. I think for 11.5 million, it's just not high enough returns. The team look very disjointed at the minute. He's having to score a lot of penalties. He might get player of the matches, which definitely boosts what you could get. Like, if he scores, he's probably getting player of a match in the same way as that Liao does and all this sort of stuff. And I think when you have other players that we're about to talk about that could just go off because of the fixtures, also players like Bruno Fernandes that you only want for 1 week to then get Saka in for two home games and things like that, not having three premiums allows you to do that. If you've got Sané in, for example, like you can only afford one premium midfielder, I think, if you've got three premium forwards. And even then, I think you're going to be having 4.5 million midfielders and all sorts. I think it ruins your team. And Haaland could absolutely explode. But if you didn't have Haaland, then I'd recommend having Alvarez, who is outperforming Haaland at the moment, for cheaper. And then you've got Harry Kane. Like, I just don't think Mbappe is a captaincy option in any of this. So for 11.5 million, that's a lot of money to spend on someone that I wouldn't captain. That's the only issue. I do agree that I think he's going to score in all four games, but I don't think he's... It's not about Mbappe. It's about Mbappe plus a 4.5 million midfielder versus a Pender. It's 7.5 million, and then having an 8.5 million midfielder in there. Like, that's the... You could have Odegaard and a Pender or Mbappe and Baronetsia. It's an absolute no-brainer. What's the score going to be?
I think AC Milan will concede the first goal of the tournament. Well, first goal of their tournament.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a 2-1 win for Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think PSG will win. That's all that I know. PSG will win this game. But yeah, 2-1 feels about right. I'd love another draw in this game. If this game's a draw, that is just absolutely magic for us, I think. Providing we don't lose. Other teams just not picking up 3 points at any stage. Is just
imagine wild. That if, like, by match day five, Newcastle have qualified and they're starting to rotate.
If we start rotating, we're the rotation team. That'd be hilarious. It'd be great, though. We might need a rest with how many games we've got coming up, but that'd be unbelievable. But I think... that we might benefit from the rotation. So... who knows? We'll move. We obviously want to be finishing top of the group as well. What a ridiculous thing to say. What a ridiculous thing for a Newcastle fan to suggest. Pure hubris. And I understand why
two games every single
person that's ever watched this now hates us. I fully appreciate that. If it makes anyone feel any better, I do think we'll get slapped away at PSG. If that makes anyone feel any better whatsoever. We'll move into Group G. The penultimate group. We've got Manchester City away to Young Boys. Man City.
So men versus boys.
Say that again, sorry?
Men versus boys.
Men versus boys. But who will be the boys in this situation? Do you think Young Boys can pull off a miracle? They are at home to Manchester City. Man City won 2-1. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I don't think they will.
yeah, I highly doubt it as well. Pep obviously rotated his defence quite a lot. Rotated his goalkeeper as well today against Brighton. Manchester City are just a nightmare to predict. I think Julian Alvarez...
They've got some tough games coming up.
Julian Alvarez, I just don't know if he's going to be playing games. But obviously he was he got the goals in the last round. He's got more points than Haaland so far. Haaland, you just expect to play every game because he just doesn't really do that much up top. Like he doesn't... He's not like a pressing machine, is he? He's just there waiting to finish his dinner. Beyond that, now that you've got, I mean, KDB's still injured, but now that Rodri's back, now that Grealish is fit, now that Bernardo Silva's fit, everyone else is just a total nightmare in terms of selection. Because I think Alvarez will be playing Premier League games. I don't think Pep needs to be playing him in loads of City. So, I mean, even defensively, Ruben Diaz is likely going to play because he didn't play today. That's kind of what you've got to go off. Pep in the group normally has like a Champions League team and a league team. But whatever we think we might know for this game, we have no idea about the game after or the game after. And it's a shame because Young Boys are two fixtures that you should really be targeting. But as far as a wild card goes, whoever you bring in, you're probably going to take out by match day 5. And I just think there are other better picks. So as much as Alvarez at 7 million is absolute dynamite, Ake, 4.5 million, could be a really good pick. So I do think he's probably going to play these games. He suits this sort of style of European football, big, strong, really quick.
He's so in my team already at the moment.
Say that again, sorry?
He's in my team already from the last few match days. So
yeah.
I don't think he's a player that I'm taking out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be taking him out. He's a player that I would think about putting in because I think he's going to get these games and not the Premier League games, but it's still rolling the dice on a Wednesday player this week. I appreciate the next 2 weeks, 4-5, are both Tuesday games for all the teams on this podcast. So it does turn from that point.
The thing is as well is that the games from then onwards, so like their schedule for Man City. So obviously they play Young Boys on Wednesday. Then after that, it's Man United. Then after that, it's Bournemouth, which I'm not saying they're tough games, but I wouldn't call Man United away the easiest of matches.
It's a derby. That's a derby. It's a must-win derby.
But then from match day 4, away to Chelsea, home to Liverpool, home to Leipzig, home to Tottenham. So 3 home games in a row, but it's Liverpool and Tottenham in an awkward trip to Stamford Bridge. Like, it's a bit... yeah. I think that's going to be a... They'll want the 3 points. I think they'll play their strongest team and then look to tie up the game and then make substitutions in the second half, ready for Man United. That's what I think. So I don't think Haaland gets the full 90. But I don't think Alvarez will either. I think they'll try and tie up the game really quick. And that's probably why he's rotating the defenders. I do think Akanji will play, though, seeing like he's now suspended for the next week's game. So,
yeah. I think you've actually answered a few of my own questions there about who I want to bring in, because I've had a bit of a forward midfield dilemma about points and hits and all sorts. And I think you have just solved a query for me, Aaron. That query was going to be, I wanted Not, I mean, it's well, in fact, I'll tell you what the query was because it involves another team in this group. Let's just finish off with a score line for the. We're not going for Young Boys players, aren't we? Are we not? Aaliyah? No. He's the only player we've ever recommended, I think, from Young Boys. What's the score going to be?
3-0 Man City.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, same. Away, other way. I'll go 2-0. I'll go 2-0. So the issue was going to be for Leipzig. So we've got Leipzig, Svena Zvezda. I've got Raum. I think Henricks is definitely the better pick. It's just I was wildcarding and Henricks was injured and I wish I still just had him. Henricks got an assist today. Leipzig won 3-1. But Dani Olmo's back. And Appenda is in great form. And I really wanted Appenda, who's a forward. I really wanted Olmo, who's a midfielder. So obviously, Osimhen to either Haaland, Alvarez, or Appenda, or Jimenez was a question. Do I take a -4 to take Luke de Jong out was another question. I do have obviously two free transfers, but I need to take out Koundé and Jimenez most likely. So who are the defenders that I'm going to put in there? Do I need Olmo to come in for Martin Odegaard? But I think from having this conversation, I can keep Odegaard in and I can move Osimhen to Appenda, who was on fire today. He's just scoring in so many games. He's 7.5 million, absolutely nailed up top for Leipzig. And I think he'll be an even better prospect with Dani Olmo coming back into the team. Almost 7 million. Anyone that's wildcarding, like, this is it. Get Dani Olmo on your team. Sod Xavi Simmons. He's 0.5 more expensive, Olmo, and he's just a better all-round player. Often plays higher up as well. Can play up front with Appenda. I think Olmo's a better pick than Appenda. It's just not what's going to fit my personal team at the moment. Again, Henricks over Raum, if you've got the chance. But as long as you've got one of them, you could feasibly go triple Leipzig against Svena Zvezda. They won 3-2 today, and I think the opening goal was an own goal anyway, against absolute nobodies. No offence to the team they were playing, but never heard of them. I think Leipzig at home to Red Star are going to give these a proper footballing hiding, personally. I think this is going to be a 3-4-0. And they would be, I'd say Henricks, Olmo, Appenda, or Raum, Olmo, Appenda, are your triple up. Anything else on that? What's your prediction?
2-0 Leipzig.
I just wanted to get through that as quickly as possible for once in our lives, because I felt like everything was really, really obvious. And I know who people have as players. So I was like, okay. Match day 2 goalkeeper, maybe Blažević at 4.5 million. I think if you didn't have one of those defenders. The final group we have. Let's start with Barcelona. I'm going to go through the injuries and then you're going to tell me what you think. They are playing at home to Shakhtar next in the early fixture. So let me just bring up, because I actually do have to bring up their injuries. They are vast.
Yeah, they're going through at the moment.
Oh, yeah. So Pedri is doubtful. He has a knock. He is just doubtful. Jules Koundé is out until late November, much to my own lament. Rafinha, Robert Lewandowski, Sergi Roberto, Frankie de Jong, all out until early November. And Gavi is suspended. That's a lot of players. How do you think it's going to affect them?
Against the teams in this group, I don't think very much. I think it'll just make the score lines a little bit closer, personally. But I think the biggest thing is the clean sheet isn't as guaranteed because not having Koundé.
Or Gavi, or like obviously having such good forward presence helps you defensively. In terms of Donetsk, they won 3-0 today, but I think we've all learned a lesson, really, not to... No one's screaming out in terms of actually getting any Champions League returns yet. I still have Riznik. That's fine. He's a 4 million playing goalkeeper. He's playing on a Wednesday this week, so I just probably won't bring him off my bench. And I'm hoping that Jan Sommer just doesn't concede, and then everything will be good. And then from then, he's got two Tuesday fixtures, which means he can just play him and see what happens. I actually think for 4 and 5, he's good against... Because Barcelona away is a game where he might just absolutely rock out loads and loads of saves. He might concede 5 goals. Doesn't matter. Just sub him out. It is what it is. Like, it's like a good... I think that's a really good roll of the dice. I think Cancelo is not the world's greatest pick because of the injury to Jules Koundé, although I think Araujo was a very, very good centre-back. It's just all of the other injuries and suspensions around him that's the issue. Obviously, we're not recommending anyone from Donetsk, so what's your scoreline for this game, Barcelona versus Donetsk?
I'll go 2-0.
2-0. I think Donetsk go. I think it's going to be...
I hope they do.
I mean, we should probably mention João Felix. João Felix is probably going to be Barcelona's best player, if you like, in terms of maybe where you can get points from. Maybe it is Cancelo going forward. Obviously, we don't pick Cancelo for defensive returns, do we? So that could be the case. It's just, I think, as we've already alluded to, there's plenty of strikers to go to. And I think João Felix has had his moment in the sun, personally, especially without Lewandowski there, taking players away and distracting defenders. I think he's going to be outmarked. But yeah, I do think Barcelona will win. I'm probably being a bit daft yet. 3-1 Barcelona, 2-1 Barcelona. The very last game we've got of the night, FC Porto versus Antwerp. Antwerp have a bunch of injury concerns themselves. In terms of doubts, Velhurst, Cobain, Vines, Onyeka, Engels, Richie De Ligt is out. So Richie De Ligt is their generally their starting right back. Onyeka has obviously played right wing this season, so he's fairly important to them. Not that I think it's going to overly matter in a game at home to FC Porto, because Antwerp are just generally pretty naff. What do you make of FC Porto?
I think these are the two games to kind of target. I was tempted to buy them in terms of the... In terms of wild card, I think it could be a team where there's definitely points in there. And I don't know how many people are actually going to try and get them in. I don't know. Have you got any in your wild card?
I had, and obviously still having my team, Galeno. On penalties, really, really cheap. That's the long and short of my thought process for FC Porto. I don't really know what else to say. Taremi isn't really doing it. Evan Nielsen seems to be the one that's getting goals. I think he's got a couple of goals in his last two games. But yeah, I have Galeno for this game against Antwerp. I just think if they get a pen, he's on it. He could go off. Especially when the Porto are playing away from home, because Antwerp have to come out. Like, with how the group stands, this is a game that they need to target, a home game to Porto. And as soon as they come out, I think that's going to open things up for Porto to attack. Obviously, Marcano's still injured for Porto, so that's going to be... Like, defensively, they're still weak, Porto, because of Marcano and Pepe, etc. Like, Danny Carmo's not the one. I think he got sent off at the weekend or the game before the international break. What a shock. He's an absolute trap, that man. So, yeah, I think Galeno's still good at 6.5. I think he's 6.6 now. I think he got a price rise. That's why I got him in. Honestly, I don't think I would wildcard him in because I'd rather have Bryce Mendes at that. If for the for my 6.5 million midfield, I think I'd rather have him. I think there's another. I think we've named over the course of these two podcasts some really good midfielders that you can go for. I went on Galeno early, and it's probably shooting us in the foot a little bit. I think we'll see. We'll see how this game week goes. I think by game week 5, he's someone that might have to come out, but who knows? Feels like chasing points a little bit. Are you going for anyone from Port? I assume you're not going for anyone from Antwerp.
No, I'm not that brave. I think it was just one of them where I was having a look, but in terms of I prefer other options. I'd probably go for the defence.
Yeah.
But then Porto haven't been the same defensively strong unit that they have been in seasons past. But Antwerp at home, they're away. For these two games against Antwerp, with a lot of the defenders being 4.5 or under, I think they are good bets. If I need to, for example, I've currently got Saliba. If I choose not to wildcard this match day, could go down and save a million and go from Tchouaméni up to one of the players that we've said. So I think that's a shout, but there's other 4.5 players. Like, I could go from Saliba to
have you got a Leipzig defender?
I've got the goalkeeper. I took out Henricks last.
Yeah, maybe
you got a price rise.
It's strong.
So,
but Henricks, I think Henricks is going to be a good pick.
Yeah.
And if you double up, that's a differential in itself, because I think a lot of people will have one Leipzig defender. They'll have one of them and they'll bank on the attack and return from that player. If you have the goalkeeper and one of them, then and they do keep a clean sheet, you're winning.
Well, like, that's the thing. With it being a Wednesday fixture, I don't want to lose out on Leipzig points by having the goalkeeper. Like, if Sommer doesn't keep a clean sheet,
then you're not going to even play the goalkeeper.
Yeah, so I'm missing out on them points.
Yeah. What's the score going to be for Porto versus Antwerp?
We'll go 1-0 Porto.
I want to go 2-0 Porto. I don't think Antwerp are particularly good. That's that, Aaron. 32 teams, done and dusted. How are you feeling? Emotionally, physically, tired. Mentally exhausted?
Physically tired, mentally.
You look it.
Exhausted.
You are aging years across these 2 hours alone.
I know. It's what fantasy does to you.
Well, make sure you get some decent moisturizer and a Secret Santa, mate. Don't worry. Thank you so much for everyone else that's put up with us too, talking for the last 2 hours across these two podcasts. We really, really do appreciate it. Please don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and also if you are a Newcastle fan, feel free to subscribe to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel as well. We are on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod. Best of luck, everyone, for this round. Lots of chips to be played, I imagine. Hopefully they go better for you than the Limitless Wildcard lot in match day 2. Not really. Hope you will fail. And we shall see you all next time. Bye now.